The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Welcome to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers podcast. Thank you so much for downloading and checking us out this week. We are so happy to have you here, and we're so happy to have you here, Brad, as you continue to GM a game of Numenera for us. You have a title for this campaign, this thing, or is it just Brad's Numenera game?
I thought that was your job.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. No,
I think
don't.
It's Numenera ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba is perfectly fine for me.
Ba-ba-ba-ba. Yes. Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Yeah.
So where are you going to take us?
And that's stuck in my head.
You're welcome. You are welcome, Rob. Oh, there's Rob and there's Rodrigo. Hello, Rodrigo.
Hey.
There's Sam. Hello, Sam. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I am doing very well. Thank you. And who can forget good old D&D Brian?
Hello.
What's going on, dude? Did you have fun last game? Are you still alive after last game, or were you one of the people that got the crap kicked out of him?
I mean, I had my crap kicked pretty good, but took a rest and could probably still take another.
I understand that. Yeah.
I have a question on rests while that comes up. How do we reset those? Or is that after the 10-hour rest, it all gets reset?
So, yeah, it gets reset at, like, the new day. So you took the 10-hour rest, and it is reset, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I guess, you have to take the 10-hour rest for it to reset, if you don't have the 10-hour rest.
Yeah, because you have to take them in order anyway.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. But you're not obliged to take them because everybody else is taking them. So some people can get ahead of other people and such. The only person who rested was Osford, as I recall. Is that correct?
I haven't rested in today. So
I took my one action rest.
Did you?
As did I.
Okay. Actually, no. I took it before this fight. No. I took it during this fight. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I thought I had written those down, but I did not have yours written down, Rodrigo. Sorry.
Do you have mine written down, Brad? Because for some reason, both my character sheet and my...
Oh, yeah, you took a rest too.
My character in the Roll 20 have been reset to full. And I'm like, I don't think I've been reset to full.
No, I think you took a rest too. You also used a cipher that helped you out, as I recall.
Oh, too. That's what it was.
Yeah.
That was
true.
Okay.
Did you do that and not rest, or did you rest and do that?
I think I took my... Oh, I don't see it.
I know you use the cipher.
But I don't see it in the archive of the roll.
Okay. All right. We'll
Oh,
you don't see the last thing you rolled in the archive is a rest roll, Steven.
Yeah, that was what I did earlier today just to make sure everything was working with Mac.
Oh, okay. All
right. I mean, I can use that number. It's not going to be a big deal.
No. I just was thinking that, and also that didn't make sense anyway. All right. So we'll say I didn't. I mean, I had only noted that Brian had taken a rest in the midst of the game. I did not note that you or Rodrigo had. So either of you can call it as you will.
All right.
I mean, if you want to.
I will take a quick one action, or I guess Man, no, I know. I took a one action rest in during the fight. Combat, I had to. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So I would be up to the 10 minute. I'd be up to the 10 minute mark. So
okay. So hang on before anybody takes any rest, because we've got other business we need to take care of too.
Oh, okay. Let's take care of business.
All right. So one of the things is at the end of that session is handing out XP. So because you actually made a discovery of this weird location that seems to be connected to the drive somehow, the location that has the big black beam coming from it, everybody gets 2 experience points.
Woohoo!
Ooh.
So that would put...
exciting.
Yeah, so we put... Rodrigo and Sam at 5. That puts Steven and Rob at 6 each.
Can we spend them immediately to buy stuff?
You can buy all sorts of stuff. You can buy up. You can spend 4 to buy up a thing toward leveling up. Right. So if you look on your character sheet. There's the business about the different things that you can buy. I'm trying to pull a character.
Yeah, first one is increase capabilities +4 to a stat pool. Do you have to do those in order as well?
No, you do not have to do these in any kind of order. So there's...
What page is that on again?
It's on your character sheet, actually.
Oh, okay.
So the character sheet in Roll 20, or it's also on the character sheet in, like, your actual character sheet in the Google thing.
Yeah, but it's still good to know, because when it says +4 to stat pools, it doesn't mean +4 to all stat pools. It means +4 to a stat pool.
All right, let me give you a page number since I've actually got the lovely book called up here. I don't know that that's where it is.
Spending XP, page 125.
Thank you.
Experience points are meant to be used. Hoarding them is not a good idea. And if you ever accumulate more than 10 at once, the GM can require them to spend some immediately.
That is correct. So it's increasing capabilities. You gain 4 new points to add to your stat pools. So that's spread out among, not to each stat pool, but 4 new points among the stat pools as you wish. There's also moving toward perfection. You add 1 to your might edge, your speed edge, or your intellect edge.
When it says add 1, could you start a new one or just only expand on the one you already have?
That is, you add 1. If it's 0, it goes to 1. If it's 1, it goes to 2, etc. Yep. So you can add 1 to any edge you wish. And extra effort, your effort score increases by 1. So you could spend 2 levels of effort toward some action. Also, you can become trained in a skill, or you can... specialize in a skill. That's a thing. And then there's the kind of other options. So reduce your armor cost, add 2 to your recovery rolls, select another focus ability. Oh, that's a tier 3. Glaive can select a new fighting move. Nano can select a new esoteric. And Jax can select a new trick of the trade. Probably Delves can do something too, but that's in a completely different book.
Yes.
Effort expands the amount of points that you can spend to expend effort.
It allows you to add another level of effort.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So you spend 3 points
twice on the same action.
Yep. And then 2 more points for another level.
Yeah. Okay.
Lowering the difficulty 2 steps.
Well, got it. But
yeah. And if you have edge, the edge only applies once in that combination. So it's not.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So edge will take 1 off of the total of 6 to knock it down to 5. It doesn't apply twice.
But if I say raised my edge, my speed edge to 2, when I spend effort, instead of spending 2 points, I'd spend 1 point.
That is correct.
Yep.
I'm gonna do that.
Yeah. Edge seems like the, I'm like sort of to me, the obvious first thing. So you've got an edge of 1 in speed and you're moving that up to edge 2.
That's correct.
All right.
I'm going to do similar, except going from 0 to 1.
In speed also?
Yes.
All right.
I'm just going for the, speed edge. I'm going for the 4 points to my stat pool.
Okay. And what are you doing with your stat pool, Steven?
I'm increasing my might by 2 and my speed by 2.
Okay, that would put your might up to 12 by my calculation, and your speed up to 11?
No, my speed would be at 12. My might would be 23.
Sorry, I was looking at Rodrigo. My apologies, guys. Hang on a second.
Don't look at me.
Gotta look at somebody. What we'll do, Steven, is we're going to go ahead and drop those points into your current total. All right. So,
okay.
Probably it is probably good game to make you, you know, rest those up again, but we're going to cut that in the other direction. And just,
no, that'll be fine because, I was down to 1 might point left.
Yeah, you're kind of a wreck.
Yeah. That's why I was like, I know I didn't take no 10-minute rest at the end of last episode.
Yeah. No, you definitely did not take a 10-minute rest. Rodrigo, do you want to spend 4 to do something, or are you going to hang on to that?
I'll spend it. I'm going to get training on my onslaught ability.
Okay. What does that mean?
It means it is going to be 1 step easier to zap people.
All right. So it already cost you. All right. So training onslaught, just using onslaught is going to reduce everything by 1 step, right?
Yeah.
The way a light weapon reduces an attack.
Right.
All right. Gotcha. Brian, you have 4 XP. You could spend them all and go down to no XP, or you could sit tight.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and spend and also increase my speed edge by 1.
All right.
To a 2.
And your intellect edge is 1 right now also, right?
Yep.
All right. All right, very good. All right. Other things we need to take care of. So in no particular order. Last time
on critical hit,
go ahead.
On critical hit,
that was sad, but okay. we'll take it how we get it.
It's the problem of I'm muted when we're talking.
So
never mute.
Yeah. Right. So you all, defeated, a couple of, automata that were, standing outside a doorway to this large area, and they lay there at your feet, defeated. One of the last things that happened was that one of the automata exploded and killed poor Arma, the squirrel bug thing. Rob, there are provisions in that ability that got you that creature.
Yes.
Provisions that let you get another one. How does that
work? I have to spend 1d6 days. Oh. I said ooh because I actually like scrolled straight to the page. If your critter companion dies, you can search an urban or wild environment for 1d6 days to find a new companion.
Okay. All right. So you do not have you could maybe spend 1d6 days if your friends are into letting you do that. I'm just saying.
I understand. I would like to do that. Ani would like to do that. Ani would like to give Arma rest. But also, so are we at the place that we're trying to explore, or?
So yeah, you were at the doorway to a really large structure that extends for 100 meters, and it seems to be kind of a circular-ish structure. And the center of it, what you would guess to be the center of it, is where this black beam is shooting straight up into the sky. Which was kind of your target. So you appear to be at the place. So other things going on here. So there are people who need to rest. And also there are these bodies of the automata, which might be worth scavenging for ciphers. He says with a severe suggestion to you all to do that.
And, can I use my scavenging skill to do so?
I suppose you can. But in a sense, so and then also some folks really need a rest, and poor Galen, his arm is broken. You're standing outside the structure with a big open doorway leading inside it. So you've got several options and things that need addressing. And it is up to you all to how you address those things, but there might be other options and items that need addressing also that I'm not thinking of. So,
well, Rupert Manley II, is pretty beat up. So he really needs to take an extended rest.
A 10-minute rest?
No, he needs to take like a much longer rest.
At least an hour.
And maybe more, depending on how his dice rolls go. But yeah, I mean, when I'm sitting at three points left in my might, I'm going to need a couple of rest periods to get through it. Push on and go inside and see what happens, or we can back off a little bit, make a camp. People can do their cipher hunting. People can rest.
Well, why don't we take at least an hour for, you know, resting and scavenging, and Marie's is trained in all actions that involve overcoming or ignoring the effects of pain, among other things. So I was thinking of maybe trying to see if I could help our poor companion with his arm, just like maybe find him something he can like chew on to dull the pain or something like that.
Yeah, okay. That'd be awesome.
That would be a good, you could do that for both Rupert and Galen. Probably Rupert would appreciate that also. And Silica is also in a,
Silica is just moving very slowly to, like, he's already just walking towards him to like set his arm.
Cool. Yeah. Then I will, would try to team up to cheer everyone up.
Okay. All right.
Like Osford pretty much just dives in immediately into the weird guardians to
robot
see
guts.
Yep.
Yeah, Anna will help with that. I need to take at least two rests.
Yeah, and I could take a 10-minute rest as well, but
all right.
Yeah, let's take an hour rest, shall we?
Okay, so hold on. Okay, so before you take an hour rest, everybody needs to take, so some people get just a breather, right? And that will allow you one die roll. And then there's also the 10-minute rest if you want to take those. And so we kind of need to just sort of run down who wants to take what rest and how much they're taking, right? So
I'll take my one action rest.
Okay. All right. So Sam is going to take the one action rest for Maurice. All right.
Well, that's great. That's all I need. So I will put those 6 points back into my speed.
All right. Well done.
Anium is going to take both the one action and the 10-minute.
All right. Hang on a second. Slow down. Sam, I only had you short 4 points in speed.
No, I had myself down at 10 in speed, but you might, I assume that you're correct. So then we'll say I was also down one might.
All right. So,
I'll just be totally full.
All right. That'll fill you up.
Thankfully, this isn't Blades in the Dark where, you know, resting too much is a big problem.
All right. Who else needs to take just the breather, just take a moment, rest? Rodrigo, are we saying you've already taken yours, or are we saying you've not taken yours yet?
I've already taken mine.
Okay. And Anam, are you going to take a breather also?
I'm going to take the breather and the 10-minute.
Okay.
Right. Yes, Rob is going to take the breather.
All right.
Then when we get to the 10-minute one, Rob is probably also going to file for that.
Okay. All right. All right, so Rob, why don't you go ahead and make two rolls then?
Hey, exactly enough.
Well done. All right.
Because I was doing 7 and 6 in might and speed, right?
Could be. Yes.
That's what I have.
All right. All right. So you're back. All right. Who else needs a 10 minuter?
I need a 10 minute.
Okay. All right. Well, everybody roll your 10 minutes.
Woo. 6. Not bad. Almost
5.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Putting all 14. Those into might.
And how long does my extra mind point last?
I think it is for 2 days, I want to say.
2 days. That sounds right.
Seems like it was a pretty good one. Well, the thing says next couple of days, so we're going to call it 2 days. So today and tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
And Silica got 2 points. Where are you going to put those, might?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, so that's the 10-minute rest. So who is going to start, but not roll, but who is going to take the hour rest, as opposed to who is also going to be spending time doing things over that hour?
I will not be taking an hour rest.
Okay,
and I will be taking an hour rest.
Okay.
If I can squeeze it in between salvaging Numenera and doing that 10-minute rest, I would like to explore a long distance across the area here and familiarize myself with it.
All right, let's see how. Silica, you're going to take a 1 hour rest too, probably.
I mean, I'd like to, but also I have to like perform some like medical actions here to make sure that our priest doesn't die.
We can say you can stabilize him with a splint in like 3 minutes or something like that. You can make sure his arm is set. It is not a compound fracture. So we'll give you just a couple minutes to do that. And then you can get to resting.
Okay. So then yes, I will take the hour rest.
All right. So let's have you, Brian, let's have Osford dig into these fellows and see what kind of ciphers they can give you. And really we can just I guess since this is just looting a guy, this isn't like searching for them in a ruins, you know, so you can like, if you get to a space inside a ruin, you can also search for ciphers there. So we can just say digging into these guys, tell you what, roll 2d6 to find. So it's, each guy is going to give you 1d6 of ciphers. So roll 2d6, 1d6 for each guy.
Oh, dang. Well, a 6 and a 2.
A 6 and a 2. All right. So that's 8 ciphers that you have. All right. Very good. Also, roll 2d6 again to figure out how many shins you're going to get.
Okay. 9.
You got 9 shins. There you go. Guys have got a lot of shins on them.
Can I do anything to scavenge and replenish the amount of arrows that we spent?
Yes. So you've replenished a lot of arrows and now you have a lot of arrows.
Oh, we're just not gonna,
I'm not gonna make you keep track of arrows.
No. Cool.
Love to hear it. Thank you, because I had been not doing that.
I mean,
same. I also had been not doing that. So yeah, I wanted to have fun playing this game.
That's
so
because you are a Modron.
Yes. Especially since I've kind of been narratively using the crossbow to harry enemies to not attack.
Yeah. Those weren't even shots. You know, sometimes. Yeah. All right. So here's the deal. You have 8 ciphers.
2 for everyone.
I want you to make note that you now have ciphers A through H.
All right.
And I'm going to describe to you very briefly. So you are going to need to make a roll to identify these. So cipher H, and somebody can take these notes.
Well, I'm out.
Cipher
I'm just
A.
Good at finding them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so
I'll get to it after.
Yeah, I also trained in identifying, so I could help.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, there you go. So this is a Marie's or Bilica thing. This would be a Galen thing, but he is out of it. So this, and we're going to call this just a level two thing to identify these. So if you want to, Sam, if you want to, I'll give you the list of these and we can just sort of run through the things you identify and the things you don't. And then after the 1 hour rest, Scylla could do that also. Since you're trained in it, it's something you can do. Most people are like idiots at identifying ciphers. So that would put them at a loss. So if you're trained at it, you get to knock it down to a level one task, which means you've just basically got to roll a three to do it.
Great. Yeah. Well, as of today, I am trained in it because I'm a weird Jack.
Good for you. Brilliant. All right. Do you want to, let's go through these now then. All right. So I'm going to, give me, I guess we could say, yeah, a bunch of D20s. So there's one. I'm just going to put check mark for that. You got one. Okay.
Yeah. Should I just go ahead and roll five of them?
Yeah. Roll all eight of these and I'll just make the check marks for the ones that exceed three. And so far you're totally exceeding three over and over again.
Hey, got them all.
Look at that. Okay. Very good. All right. So now what I'm going to do, document in our shared drive called starting ciphers. You see that?
Yep.
All right. So I'm opening that one up and I'm going to copy into it the ciphers that you all just picked up. So the things that Maurice was able to identify, there is a choking gas bomb that is a metallic sphere. There's a gravity nullifier that is a belt. There's an invisibility cipher that is a ring, a memory recorder that is a wearable headband, a persuasion enhancement that is a pill that gives you training in persuasion. There
28 hours?
Yeah, for the next 28 hours.
Sorry.
I don't know what that is, but
days in Numenera are 28 days or 28 hours long.
Honestly, I think it is it's kind of like how in Destiny you get your bounties, they last for like 1 day and 4 hours, so that if you come back, like it'll be this time plus 4 hours tomorrow, basically. So you get slightly more than a day to actually use this thing. An infiltrator is a thing that sticks to somebody's head, and it is a tiny capsule that launches and moves at great speed, mapping and scanning an unknown area. It moves 500 feet per level. So it's level 8, so a lot of feet. Scanning an area up to 50 feet per level away from it. It identifies basic layout, creatures, and major energy sources. Its movement is blocked by any physical or energy barrier. The other things you get are a frigid wall projector, which is kind of a weird, like kind of a shoebox-sized, complicated device. And there is also a force cube projector, which is a handheld device. So those are the eight things you've got.
Bizarre.
Yes. You all can figure out what you want to do with them.
I'd love to take the infiltrator just because I'm super fast. So if we actually need to like get somewhere, I can maybe grab, you know, get the information and get out.
Okay. I will leave it all to you all to grab these, move them to your section of the starting ciphers document. Okay. So.
I was also going to request the infiltrator to basically cut the time down to replace Arma.
Oh, well, then that is a much better reason for it. If you get if you want to get your class feature back, go for it.
Yeah, I was going to see if I could just use that to instantly replace my pet instead of rolling the D6 by sending it out the 4,000 feet in every direction and finding something I can tame.
All right. Yep. I would allow that use of this item. Yes.
Okay.
I can take go ahead, Brian.
I was thinking the invisibility would sound good to me.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. I was going to take the choking gas bomb.
I mean, gas has worked out good for me. So yeah.
I'll take the force cube projector. Did somebody want it?
No.
Okay.
I say, after using the infiltrator, can I take the frigid wall projector?
Go for it.
Woo! And remember, you have a limit of 2 ciphers unless you're Silica, who has a limit of 3, as I recall. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yep, but I used 1 during the last fight.
Right.
So I'll immediately use the infiltrator and then grab the frigid wall protector, unless... Yep. Okay.
You can totally do that.
Cool. Yay. I have a new weird little pet. What's my new weird little pet?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, right. sounds like a personal problem.
All right.
What is your new weird little pet?
I got one of those chirpy guys.
Oh, God. I don't think those are pet material.
Yeah, I don't think a dreet would be a good idea.
Who wants to become the face of the party for a day?
I mean, who's already got the highest intellect? Because that's the main thing for facing. Well, that's Silicon,
I'm pretty sure.
I'm going to say mine's a 14.
Maybe if I'm the face of the party, then we won't get into fights with golem guys.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Maybe, like, we are friends.
But I'm already packing 3 ciphers.
I'll grab the memory recorder if no one else wants that. That seems neat. And I am out of ciphers, so.
And does somebody grab the gravity nullifier?
Nope.
All right. I'm grabbing that as well.
I'll grab the persuasion enhancement if no one else does.
Yeah.
Go for it.
All right.
All right, very good. You all have your ciphers ready to go. So you're all are doing your various things. Anum is I guess wandering around at the edge of the forest while the infiltrator was scanning around there, and you got your guy and you wandered back, and we'll say that took, I don't know how many minutes that should take. We'll say you were fast and we did it in about 15 minutes or so, right? We got the ciphers identified and thrown around to various people while Rupert and Silica were in the midst of their 1 hour rest. And
roll that now.
No, I do not want you to roll that now, because before your 1 hour rest is up.
Boo, Brad.
This is the thing that's happening. About 3/4 of the way through your 1 hour rest, you see a creature, like a 4-legged automaton, lope up or like around the bend, and it is moving at pretty good speed towards you now. It's like imagine it coming around the bend of the wall of the structure that you're at, right? And so it sees you all sitting there and milling about, and is loping up to you very quickly.
Oh man, I'm so tired. I stand up.
All right. What are the rest of you going to do?
Is it clearly attacking?
No, it is just moving up to you at a very high rate of speed. It is running toward you. I should state that very plainly. It is running toward you.
I mean, does it look like the sort of thing that's going to like run up here and explode?
It looks like the sort of thing that is going to run up here.
And then we don't know.
Yeah, and then past that, your guess is as good as mine. Well, no, my guess is much better than yours, but
maybe Rob's character can identify.
I was saying, yeah.
Incoming, get out the way.
I attempt to identify it.
Do you have identification of Numenera stuff or natural stuff? What kind of identification can you do?
I don't have anything in particular.
I'll tell you what, I'll let you get a, have a role at level 3. Give me an identification role that's an intellect role at level 3.
Okay, I would like to spend effort on this because I don't use my intellect pool all that much and it's deep.
Okay.
Woo.
All right, so you got it. Well done. You recognize though you don't remember having seen this kind of four-legged running thing before, you do recognize that it's wearing a, like almost a, like a piece of armor on its head that is absolutely identical to the two guys you killed.
To the two clay dudes?
Yes, to the two clay dudes who were, who had definite human being shapes, definitely not a four-legged running creature kind of shape to them.
I'm not sure what that thing is, but whatever it's wearing is the same as those guys.
Silica, you want to come out with me and maybe we can see if it won't attack us?
Yes, I'll walk up.
So you're just kind of, you're just going to kind of walking a few feet toward where it's like,
yeah.
Toward, okay. All right. All right. It kind of, skids quickly to a stop, in your immediate area that is, you know, like sort of adjacent to you. And it says to you, so, here's a question, Silica. Mm-hmm. Do you recognize what it just said to you?
Maybe.
I'm asking you. So do you recognize it or not?
Sure. Let's say yes.
Okay. You do. The thing it says to you is, halt, stay where you are.
Oh, okay. I will do that. And then hold out my hand for Aries to stop moving.
I'll stop. Okay. All right. It stands there and looks at you for a moment, and then abruptly, and in a way that is difficult to watch, it shifts into a bipedal form and is exactly like the other two guys that were there before. And it presents also, like those two guys, a face that seems somewhat related to Silica's face. It stands there and stares at you for a moment, for a beat or two, and then it begins to walk to the doorway.
Silica will say, please identify yourself.
It turns as it's walking, it swivels its head but doesn't stop walking, and it says, I am a guardian.
Mm.
And then makes its way to the doorway where it stands motionless.
Okay, I'll walk back to the group. It looks like they are set here to guard this thing.
Huh. Maybe you were set here to guard the drive.
No, I had a different mission. Oh. I am helping you all because my mission is over.
Oh, what was your mission?
Mission parameters say that I am not allowed to disclose what the mission was.
Ooh, secret mission. Well, if you can understand what it says, maybe you can talk to it and see if we can figure out how to get the drive back?
Yes, maybe. But it's just standing there, like, at attention?
Hands on hips, just standing there, legs shoulder width apart.
Okay. First, I must spend some time realigning.
Maria still nod.
Yes, it looks really scratched up.
Yeah, you can spend your, you know, getting up and walking over there and having a brief interaction will not, we'll say that does not kill your rest. So you could spend another 15 minutes and round out your 1 hour rest so that you and Rupert could make another rest roll if you wish to do that.
I do. I get a 4. I'm going to add that also to my might.
All right.
Yeah, I'll add mine to might as well.
Will that give me enough time to also get familiarity with the area?
Yes, that will give you familiarity with the area. So this sort of area immediately outside, outside here.
All right.
So what does it want?
Its mission is to guard this place.
From what?
I would imagine from any intruders. I assume the other two had a similar mission, and we just entered their whatever parameters were set. We crossed whatever border they had been set to guard.
So is this guy just to replace the ones that we took out?
I would imagine that they are all part of the same party, and this one was doing some sort of reconnaissance it was patrolling, as it were.
I see.
Did it seem to have any sort of like response to the other ones being destroyed?
I didn't register that it even noticed that they were there.
Okay.
Any chance if we wait long enough, it'll just go back to patrolling?
Not if we fit the parameters of what it's patrolling against.
Yeah.
I mean, do we think that what we need is in this building?
This building is the same make as the drive. It is made of the same materials, and it is the beam that it is emitting appeared when the drive broke. So if it is our mission to restore the drive, then yes, it is much more certain that we will find a way to do that here, or at the very least some information on how to do that.
And do you think you can try to explain this to it, or are we just going to have to beat it up?
I can try to explain this to it, but it is not going to care about what the explanation is. Mm-hmm. There might be a way to convince it to reconfigure its mission parameters, but I do not feel like I would be the best at doing that. And it might not work.
Okay. I will try friendly first and try pummel it after.
All right. What does friendly first look like?
I'll definitely make sure that she doesn't get too close to him, because I feel like that was Galen's mistake.
Mm-mm. Yeah, fair.
And
I can stay like a decent, base, like a long increment back with my bow in case it starts getting ugly.
So, gonna go talk to it?
Gonna try. Or do you want to rest up some more first, Silica?
So Silica's next rest level is a 10-hour rest.
Yeah. It will take me a very long time to reconfigure some of my internal components that were damaged. So it depends on how much time we have to do this. I do not think that this one is going to move as long as we're here, and as long as we don't approach it, it should not come after us. But time for drive is of the essence.
Hey, Rob, what's your character's name?
Anim.
Anim?
Mm-hmm.
Anim, when you were searching around for your new pet, did you maybe by any chance see a different way into the facility?
No, not really. I was searching off that direction.
Ah, okay.
So, Sam, were you going to do something friendly, or are we going to stand a distance away with your bow?
Well, I'd been waiting to see if Silica wanted to take point, considering he speaks this thing's language, and was going to try to stay a distance in case it got ugly.
Okay.
Should, maybe Silica take the persuasion enhancer after?
Yeah, that actually might be a decent idea, if he can just, like, take it and use it immediately.
Yeah, so you could set a cipher down someplace, some distance away, and then go get the persuasion enhancer or cipher.
I'll give I'll give Osford the my instant shelter.
All right.
Wait, isn't Osford the one who has the persuasion enhancer?
Yes, we're gonna trade.
So don't trade, because at some point one of you will have too many ciphers unless you do it sort of instantaneously. Set the shelter down, and then go get that one, and then Osford can go pick the shelter up.
Okay.
Because the risk of having multiple ciphers is that one of them could go bonkers and do something horrible. So
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So now you
what
have.
What is it? Some sort of pill?
It is a pill. So you just consume the pill.
Yep.
Yeah. And then you are trained in persuasion for the next 28 hours.
Okay. I'll go up to the guy.
All right.
And I will say, please explain your mission parameters.
My mission is to guard this location.
What are you guarding it against?
I'm guarding against intrusion.
What constitutes an intruder?
Any entity entering the structure. Actually, you will say any unauthorized entity entering the structure.
Who is authorized to enter the structure?
Those who carry the sigil.
Do these guys have a sigil?
I detect no sigil.
Do the guys that we knocked out have a sigil?
Are you drawing his attention to the fact that there are two dead guards there?
No, I'm asking you out of character if these guys had any sort of sigil.
You didn't notice anything specifically like a sigil.
Okay, what does a sigil look like? Back in character, I'm asking him.
A sigil is the sigil.
Right. If someone has the proper sigil, will their entourage be able to enter as well?
Only entities with the proper sigil may enter.
I see. I will walk back to the group and say, I need someone to make a sigil.
What sigil?
Okay.
Any sigil. One that can be easily replicated for each of us and possibly for any animals that you are bringing in. This is unlikely to work, but it is a nonviolent solution.
Sure. I can make us sigils.
Oh, please make us sigils.
Okay.
Let me know when the first one is done.
Certainly. So what are you going to make, Rob? Or what is Anum going to make, I should say?
I am going to make something that looks like the markings on Gormar's face.
Okay. What does that look like? Gormar is the weird little thing in
my back, yeah.
Yeah.
The weird fat little thing in my back. It's kind of a purple rectangle and two purple little swooshes underneath of it.
Okay.
Is very simple, but then makes it look like Gormar is supposed to be there anyways.
All right. So you're going to like sort of paint that on some paper or a leaf or something, or what are you doing?
If you can put it on that's something that we need to be able to show. So something durable, like maybe a rock.
Okay. Yeah. I'll paint it onto a rock of some sort. Like, see if I can find something flat so it can be.
Mm-hmm.
And paint just have, it, draw just it have onto
Rupert,
a rock.
If you can't find a flat rock, just have Rupert, crack one in half.
Done.
Fair.
All right, so we'll say that process took about 5 minutes.
Here?
Yep, Silica takes the sigil, walks over to the guardian, shows him the sigil. And then says something roughly the equivalent of slash view batch slash run. recognize sigil dot exe. Basically he's going to try to flash reprogram this guy to recognize this as the sigil. And
oh, okay.
He's going to try to get around. The fact that Silica probably does, Silica doesn't have permission to do this by basically trying to approach it with the gaps that Silica knows that he has in his code.
Okay. So, all right. So we'll, wow, that's an interesting thing. Okay. So you're going to try to use a programming language to make him recognize this as the sigil. Is that
right?
Okay. All right.
To basically, which it would probably seem easier rather than to replace the real sigil with this to also include this as part of recognizable things as a sigil, because this thing's an automaton, which means it has parameters, right? It's like, if something looks this way, like something can be so many steps away from the sigil and still be recognized as a sigil. Like, you know, you don't want your automaton to like kill you if the thing that you show him just has like a little schmutz on it, right? It's like, right, oh, here's my pass, kill, because it wasn't like exactly, you know. So there's some variety or some leeway. So Silica wants to extend that leeway to some basically put this thing in it. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So we're going to call this a formidable, an intimidating persuasion task.
Okay.
So that would be a level 6 task that would require at its base an intellect roll of 18.
Okay.
But you're trained in persuasion, so that will knock it down to an intellect roll of 15. That'll make it a challenging task.
Okay.
What else do you want to do, or can you think of that would give you some.
I assume that the fact that Silica is himself an automaton like this one is the reason why you're letting me attempt this at all. So I don't know that I can negotiate that into lowering the difficulty.
No, I'll call that a lowering the difficulty. We'll call that with you also have an understanding Numenera thing as part of your thing. So we'll roll that into one and knock it down to a 12 intellect roll. Okay.
So then lastly, if I am able to spend or have spent 30 minutes reading my book about Numenera, which is largely written, basically this is something that Silica has largely written himself. Plus, you know, he's got some manuals and stuff stuck in there from where he comes from. So if I'm able to do that, that should be able to take it down another notch.
Okay. I will allow that. So that is a good use of a resource that will allow it to go down another notch.
Okay,
very good.
Where am I at nowadays?
Now you're rolling a 12, I think, is your target. Let's do the math, right? Okay. You started at an 18. You're trained in persuasion, which will knock it down to a 15. We said that you've got Understanding Numenera, which knocks it down to a 12. You used a book as a resource, which brings it down to a 9. I think there's still room in here for you to spend effort, which will make it a 6.
Okay. Let's do that. Do I have, probably exactly enough intellect.
You've got a plus, do you have intellect edge, right?
Oh, that's right. I do. Yeah. So I'm spending two points.
And by my count, that leaves you 2 points left in your intellect.
Yep. All right. So that. Makes a difficulty 6.
The or 9. The goal is 6.
Okay.
Your target number is 6.
All right. Everybody cross whatever appendages you feel are necessary.
Oh, look at that. Well done. All right. It looks at you and says in the language that is inscrutable to everyone else, sigil recognized.
I did it.
Yeah, you did.
Hey, good job.
Definitely all you.
That's also the kind of guy Silica is. He'll say, yes, thank you for these sigils. The sigils will now be recognized. Do not take them off your person while we are inside, just in case.
All right. So are you're making sigils mostly identical to this one for everyone to carry?
Yeah.
What is your new beastie's name now?
Goosh.
Goosh?
Goosh. Right. S-K-O-O-H. S-K-O-O-S-H.
S-K-O-O-S-H.
It's like a fuzzy tardigrade with bat wings.
All right. Are you attaching a little sigil to it somehow?
Horrifying. Yes.
And painting a sigil on it.
Yes, I will paint it so it has the same looking sigil that Gormar has on his face.
All right. Very good. All right. Brilliant. Okay. So now you all have, what's, I guess sigils is just the plural of sigils. It seems like it should have a fancier plural than that though, doesn't it? Sigalia, I guess.
Yes.
A murder of sigils.
A murder of
sigils. A murder of
sigils. Well,
that is the episode title, at least.
Well, it is now.
Yes. All right. So there you are. Each of your inventories indicates one sigil. What do you want to do now?
Try to go in.
Okay. How are you going to do this?
Yeah.
Single file.
Single file. Who's first?
I'll go first.
Okay, Rupert. There you are.
Last.
Standing in front of the guardian. What are you going to do?
I am entering now, and I will walk on by and into the space.
Just for your sake, are you going to prominently display your sigil somehow?
Yes, it's strapped to my kilt belt.
Okay. All right. The guardian steps aside and allows you to enter.
Thank you, kind sir. And I'll walk on through.
Is Galen awake?
Galen is kind of semi awake. So he can probably walk through and he's mostly, I mean, you know, he's kind of in that really a mess kind of consciousness kind of thing.
Yeah, this is certainly not a liability. I mean, I've got like 12 points left in all of my pools put together, so I'm a liability myself. I will like help him in after everybody else has gone in.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I think we talked about, could I like try to make some kind of role based on my ability to ignore pain to like give him some kind of stimulant to help him a little bit?
Yeah, actually, I was taking that into account.
Oh, okay, then. Yeah. He's just still that bad off. Got it.
I mean, his arm was bent in two.
Yep. Nope, that's fair.
Yep, he was, his brain had gone bye-bye. And so you brought him back a little bit. So he's not screaming and writhing in agony. That is what is not happening right now.
Cool. Well, I'll go second and try to like lead him in and then set him down, showing his sigil too.
All right. So you want to lead Galen in. All right. And you all make it in fine. You don't need to, there's no role you need to make or anything. The sigils have been recognized. So he is the guardian stands aside for you all. And then when your entire party has entered, he resumes his position outside the door. So as you enter into this, there's a hallway. It is dark, but there does appear to be some ambient glow that is triggered just by your presence. So it's not pitch black. It's not like wonderfully illuminated. It's just slightly illuminated, and you can see that the hallway extends for maybe five or six meters into the space, and then the hallway seems to widen out into a chamber.
It's up front, Rupert.
Yep. Do I see anything? What's in the space?
Do you want to enter the space?
Yeah.
Okay. As you enter the space, lights strike up all around. So this is a nice round circular space that is probably about 10 meters across. So a diameter of 10 meters in this circular space. Lights go up, and you hear a warm voice that says, and there is a structure in the center of the space that is maybe you think of it as being kind of a crystalline sculpture, but it has some mostly sort of flat surfaces around this crystalline structure, sort of these large flat surfaces. Silica recognizes that the voice says just simply, welcome.
Nice.
It is greeting us.
Very good. Greet it back.
Yeah, maybe go talk to it.
Yeah, I'll walk over and give it a warm show menu.
A menu does appear. So there are about a dozen glyphs that appear on one of the flat surfaces, and you don't immediately recognize any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Galen, though, is with his good arm, trying to reach over his own shoulder and pull something out of his pack. And he keeps saying, I've got this. I've got this.
I'll go over to his pack and try to rifle through it and help him figure out what he's grabbing.
Yeah, because clearly he does not got this.
No.
So there is a large book in his pack that he seems to be grabbing at.
I'll kind of like prop it up and like help him flip through it to see if there's something specific.
Yeah, the book is labeled Traveler's Aid Manual. Hmm. And he just looks at you and says, find the medical glyph. But he's not really capable of looking through his book. He's not there really.
Then I'll sit down and like maybe show it to Silica to see if he recognizes anything and start flipping through it.
Yeah, there's a pretty good table of contents, and there's a section of glyphs, like a chapter in the book on glyphs, and in that chapter of the book on glyphs, you can find a section labeled medical, and there are several glyphs on that page that are under the category of medical.
We'll try to match them.
You do see one of the glyphs on the menu that you called up does correspond to one of the glyphs that is labeled medical here.
Mm-hmm.
So just for context, Eon priests like Galen have their books of lore. Eon priests have spent a very, very, very long time scouring the world of this planet and collecting information and sharing it among themselves. So this traveler's aid book is the sort of thing that you would exactly the sort of thing you would expect an Eon priest to be carrying, that would allow somebody to access sort of this large catalog of knowledge, and find what we're looking for here. So
useful.
Yep.
Quite. I will try to activate that medical glyph.
Okay. How do you want to do it? Just touch it?
Yeah.
Yep. Touching it does seem to do something. The entire crystalline structure glows blue, and a line of blue light lights up on the floor and goes out one of the four passages that lead out of this space. So there's the one you came in, and then three other passages that lead out of it. And one of those is the direction that this blue pathway has gone.
It may be the path to an infirmary.
Oh, I think we should follow it then.
Yeah, because nothing else. Galen is in real bad shape.
All right, so that pathway leads off to a door that sort of goes to the right, and you can follow it for several minutes. You go through several... you know, interesting chambers. There are spaces that seem to have weird orange synth structures, not like the drive, but of that same sort of structure, that same basic style to them. You pass through rooms that have blinking lights. There is a room that has pleasant smelling mist in the midst of it. A mist in the midst. Well, that was nice. Eventually the blue path leads you to a chamber that has three synth slabs. So there are three sort of rays. I guess they look just basically like orange rectangular boxes, not hollow boxes, but three-dimensional rectangles.
Rectangular prisms.
Thank you. Yes, that was the word that was struggling to not come out of my mouth. They are just positioned around this room. There appears to be a large automaton there that has a lot of appendages coming off of it. So just multiple five arms that are coming off of this automaton that is standing off to the side of the room. And that's where you're at.
Does the automaton do anything?
Yeah, I was just about to ask that.
No, it doesn't seem to register your presence at all.
Okay. I'll try to access the building again.
There doesn't seem to be any kind of screen or access point in this room. Nothing like, at least with no crystalline structure like in the other room.
Maybe it's automatic.
Let me see if I can talk to it. I'll go over and I will once again, in a very diplomatic way, ask what its function is.
It doesn't register that it has heard you or make any kind of indicator at all that it's conscious of your presence.
Okay. Does it seem to be active and just ignoring me?
It does not seem to be active in any kind of way.
Okay.
It is perfectly still.
Okay. It seems to be inactive, but I do not feel like I can try every option that I would normally try since many of us are injured and we would not want to have to deal with this.
That's fair. I'll kind of bounce around looking for a place for that. Like someone might want to, like someone might lie down. Like if there looks like there's anything that like, you know, a scan place for.
There are three rectangular prisms in this room, large rectangular prisms. Each is about 2 meters long and about a meter wide. It would be the sort of thing that a human-sized person could lay down on.
She'll, like, kind of guide Galen over there.
Okay.
Try to prop him up on the prism.
All right. I mean, he's looking at it and kind of wobbling and says, what is this?
Well, this is where the infirmary rune led us, so maybe it'll heal you?
I see. He addresses the box or the prism and says, heal me, and then just sort of stares at it expectantly.
Maybe try tracing the rune?
The glyph that you followed?
Yeah.
So he stands there and he didn't see which glyph it was. You might remember that. Do you want to trace it with your finger or something on it?
Sure, I'll try it. Okay. I can like flip the book back open and take a look.
Okay, all right. So you draw the glyph with your finger. It's just, you know, basically a squiggly line going downward and then a straight squiggly line also going down that kind of crosses, or a straight line and a squiggly line, both going, you know, up and down. So one straight line, one squiggly line, and you trace that onto the surface of the rectangular prism, and nothing at all happens.
I'll just spend some time studying the room, see if there's any sort of panel or mechanism or anything.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe it's just broke.
Galen is kind of wobbly on his feet there, and he wanders over to lean against the wall.
Maybe try laying in the prism. You don't look so good, Galen.
I don't feel good at all. I don't feel good at all.
let's let you get up on the thing.
So okay, he kind of slides up onto it and is sitting there with his feet dangling off the edge. Should I lay down here? I'm going to lay down here.
Yeah,
that seems like a good idea.
I'm going to lay down. Take my pack, please. Who's going to take his pack?
Take his pack. I will.
All right. So you take his pack, and Galen lays down on the rectangular prism, and the automaton comes to life. Well, as an automaton does, and slides over to the space where Galen is laying, and it extends a couple of its appendages. Touches him, examines him very thoroughly.
And disintegrates him.
No, it does not disintegrate him. But this might be a good place to leave off,
Steven. All right. Sounds good. We'll thank everybody for checking our adventures out this week. Certainly enjoy having you come in and play along with us. And thank you for all the compliments that everybody sends out each and every week. You can use the hashtag critical hit, all one word, every week. And come hang out in our Discord and chat about this episode with other really cool, like-minded, awesome people. So until next time, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
This podcast is copyright 2022 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.